W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. President Biden urges Congress to intervene in stalled contract talks to avert a rail strike, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says lawmakers will take up legislation this week. CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
As a senator, Joe Biden was repeatedly asked to vote on measures either preventing or ending railroad strikes. The industry operates under a 20th century legal framework that allows for Congress to step in to avoid work stoppages. In this case, the president is calling on Congress to immediately adopt a measure imposing the terms of the tentative agreement struck by union leaders and railroad bosses in September. Workers in four of the 12 major railroad unions voted to reject that deal, saying it did not include enough sick time.
China is experiencing its largest protests in decades, and the White House says President Biden is monitoring the situation. CBS's Ed O'Keefe with more on the rare public dissent
there. In a statement, the White House criticized China's zero COVID policy.
The statement you issued earlier today didn't include any explicit calls for China to stop detaining and harming protesters and journalists. Why not?
We continue to stand up and support the right of peaceful protest. And I think we're going to watch this closely, and we'll see where things go.
That was National Security Council spokesman John Kirby. In Buffalo, New York, a self-described white supremacist who killed 10 black people at a supermarket in May has pleaded guilty to multiple counts of murder and a hate-motivated terrorism charge. CBS's Jerika Duncan was in the courtroom.
Victims' families could be seen hugging outside a Buffalo courtroom after waiting more than 6 months for justice. They came face to face with the 19-year-old who killed their loved ones and heard him plead guilty to 15 charges, including one count of a domestic act of terrorism motivated by hate in the first degree. It carries a mandatory sentence of life without parole.
More than 2 million people in the Houston area are under a boil water notice after a power outage at a water purification plant caused low water pressure. Tony Crawford stopped at a store to stock up on water for his pets.
This is the first time ever, and I'm from Houston, and I'm almost in my 50s, so it's never been a water issue for me until today.
NASA's Orion capsule now holds the record for having traveled the farthest out of any spacecraft meant to carry humans. Orion is 270,000 miles from Earth. Johnson Space Center Director Vanessa Wycheff says Orion is halfway through its mission.
The mission management team, because Orion is performing so well, they're adding new test objectives to the mission. So that's a great thing. That lets you know that right now we're learning about this vehicle and preparing for going forward into the future.
This is CBS News.
Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Visit libertymutual.com to learn more.
President Trump has announced, and Ron DeSantis is rising fast. Who do you support for 2024? Newsmax wants to know what you think. Vote in the Newsmax poll. Just text the word FISH to 39747. That's FISH to 39747. It takes just seconds. Text FISH to 39747. Let your voice be heard. And watch Newsmax today.
Are you more than $10,000 in debt? Feel like you're on a never-ending treadmill, staying in one place and never getting ahead with those minimum payments? You feel like there's no way out? Get off the endless debt treadmill and start saving money each month. There are programs in place to help you get free of your debt and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. The program at Total Financial Freedom can help you get debt-free in months instead of decades. Call Total Financial now at 800-208-1312. 800-208-1312.
Aho, Wisconsin. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, a new Native American theme show live weekdays from 6 to 7 p.m. on Devil Radio 92.7. Each day, activists and newsmakers will provide updates on protecting Mother Earth. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Join us for our Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake weeknights at 6 p.m. on Devil Radio 92.7.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Portage County Board of Adjustment will meet at 4 p.m. on Tuesday, November 29th in the Portage County Annex Conference Room 5. If there is inclement weather, the meeting will take place on Wednesday, November 30th at 4 p.m. in the same location. The Wisconsin Rapids Area Community Choir will be presenting Songs of the Season on Saturday, December 3rd at 4 p.m. at First Congregational Church, located at 311 2nd Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. This concert is free and will be recorded by Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. The choir has been performing for 19 years, with this as their first performance since December 2019 because of the pandemic. The group consists of 40 singers of all ages from Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding area. The choir is under the direction of Sid Cooper as conductor and Mary Englert as accompanist. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy overnight with lows around 32. Southerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. Highs level off around 41. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night. A mixture of precipitation likely. Lows dip down to about 20. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 37.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
7.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. So, Jane, what do you have any podcasts in your rotation?
No.
No podcasts? Just radio?
I'm a bad person.
You're not a bad person.
I'm just an older person, and that just isn't, although I know a lot of older people who do, who listen to podcasts.
You can't find your niche yet?
No, I don't want to listen to it. Too much. You know what I mean? When I'm done from here, I want to take a break.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. All right. Well, our next guest knows a lot about podcasting. He's actually the mayor of Podcast Town, which is his actual title. Podcast Town is a full service podcast company that helps businesses grow their revenue through podcasting. And he's also launched the Podcast Town Academy. Elsie Flanard, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited here.
And so. So the mayor, is that a self-appointed name, the mayor of Podcast Town?
So yes and no. I actually got the name from a marketing coach. We were in a meeting and we were talking strategy about where I wanted the company to go. And he pauses for a second and he stares off into space, which is always really dangerous for a creative to do. And he looks at me and he says, Elsie, you know what? You're the mayor. The way you show up, the way you preside, the way you connect people, the way you just go about your business, I'm going to call you the mayor of Podcast Town. And so we started testing it out on social media. And a funny thing happened. My mom calls me one day. She's like, well, you know, if I lived in Wisconsin, I vote for you. And at first, I didn't know what she was talking about because, you know, I'm just going about my day. And I realized she's talking about the social media post that I put saying that I'm running for mayor of Podcast Town. I was like, no, mom, not a real mayor. Just this is a marketing campaign. And so figured that it probably has some legs. And so we just ran with it.
Where is this Podcast Town? Where is it in Wisconsin? But in reality, you are based in Brookfield, right?
Well, actually, our main location is in Wauwatosa in the Mayfair Collection. There's a co-working space expansive there. So that was our initial studio. But this year, we actually have expanded into Brookfield as well. So we have two locations now.
Oh, that's great. So how did you get into podcasting?
It was almost on accident. I was really sucking it up in terms of my side hustles, trying to figure out how to make them my main hustle. And I figured that the best way for me to make up that knowledge gap was to interview business people who were running successful businesses. And at the time, podcasting wasn't as popular as it is now. So I said, I know what I'll do. I'll start a podcast. I'll get pretty good at listening. I'll ask a couple of good questions and I'll just shut up and listen. I'll ask them the questions that I want to know for my business. So that's what I did. I launched my podcast back in 2016 and just learned from them, learned so much about business and about things to do, things not to do. And that's how we got here today. And I'm kind of fell in love with the medium.
So Were you pursuing different entrepreneurship endeavors before starting the agency? That's why you wanted to interview all these business people?
Oh, that is such a loaded question, Kristen. I've done so many businesses, we would be here all day. But to answer your question succinctly, yes, I've tried a lot of different things. And again, I knew that there was something missing. Like I was trying all these things and nothing would work. And so that's where the podcast came in, is because I met so many fantastic, brilliant business people, and they just, and I don't have to tell you, when people get on the radio and on podcasts, they just, they become these experts, and they tell you all the stuff. And so, so that was my education in entrepreneurship, to be quite honest.
So then the show itself then turned into an agency. So what does what does Podcast Town, the agency, do?
Yeah. So our jam, if you will, is helping businesses grow their revenue through podcasting. Looks a little different for every business, but essentially we help them meet their revenue goals using a podcast. So, so there's some marketing that happens. There's production, there's creative, segments and all the stuff that goes into crafting a podcast brand. And then we help them bring in new customers using their show.
And then, so there's that side of it, but then you just recently launched the Academy side, correct?
Yes.
So how does, yes. What does that yes. look like?
Yeah, so basically the Academy is me dumping my brain out and sharing all the lessons and the things that I've learned over the years about not only podcasting, but just relationship building, building trust. How do you how do you get attention, right? Because at the end of the day, we're all in the attention business, because you can't sell anybody anything or build a relationship unless you first get their attention, right? And so it's taking those lessons and helping businesses on a group level understand how to leverage their content to benefit their business. And so we're offering different levels of classes. We're offering group sessions. We're also offering youth classes, where we're teaching life lessons through podcasting, how to show up on time, how to show up a certain way every time, consistency, how to work as a team, all of those things through the lens of podcasting.
Our guest right now is Elsie Flanard, who is the mayor of Podcast Town, which is both a full-service podcast company and also, as he was just saying, a new academy. So what are the different classes? As someone, you know, is it more for someone who's brand new, who wants to do something on their own, like a sports podcast, because God knows we don't have enough of those? Or is it more for... the business-minded person who, like, I guess the difference is, like, is it for people who would also potentially be customers of yours from the agency side, or is it more kind of for anyone who just wants to learn more about podcasting?
I would say both. Okay. The program is more geared for people who want to treat their podcast like a brand. So I will say that difference. So if you're a hobbyist, we're probably not the best solution. But if you want to make money from your podcast at some time or some point, or you want to use it to build those relationships, it's for those folks. So it could be run the gambit of different types of people, but it's more of the end goal is what we're shooting for. So if you're a person out there that wants to launch a podcast that someday you want to either replace or supplement your day job, or you're an existing business owner who wants to leverage their existing podcast or launch a new one, the Academy is perfect for you.
Elsie, are there any hard and fast rules about podcasts? I mean, it has to be 13 minutes long, and it should always have music. And, you know, what are some of the, because I know nothing about podcasting, so what are some of the real basics?
So some of the real basics, and this is going to sound cheesy, but having fun is important. I am in the season of my life where if it does not bring me joy, I simply don't do it. So that's super important. Understanding why you're doing the show in the first place. Because a lot of people, they launch a show because it's popular, or they think that they're going to become the next Joe Rogan. And most likely you're not. That's just the reality of
it,
right?
And one of him is enough.
Yeah, I won't comment on that. But But really understanding why you want to do it, having concrete goals on what you want to accomplish, and really just having fun. There are no rules in terms of format and how long it should be. There are some guidelines, right, that depending on what you want to do, you might want to consider. But the thing I love about it so much is it's open. It depends on what your listener wants and what you want to do. So that's the thing that I really love about it is there technically are no rules, right? Like I said, there are some guidelines depending on what type of show you want to build, but it's really a great medium to build and nurture relationships.
So if there's no like hard and fast rules, are there mistakes? Are there common mistakes you see people make when they're trying to start a podcast?
Oh boy, another loaded question, Kristen. Yes, I think the biggest mistake, again, that people make is like, they don't know why they're doing it. They're not paying attention to the details and the quality of their work, and focusing on the craft. A lot of times people ask me, what is the number one skill that people need to have? And you would think that that would be talking, but it's not. Is actually listening. Listening is harder. It's easier said than done. But developing those listening skills, understanding when a question lands well or when a question does not land well, how to control and navigate a conversation and really move people to a common connection point, I would say is the biggest mistake that people make is just not paying attention to those soft skills.
How do you teach someone how to do that, though? Asking because I have a husband who doesn't always listen very well. Just kidding.
I won't go there, but that's what the Academy is all about, is really bringing people into a space where they can learn from somebody who has experience in the area. And we can walk them through some of those things and teach them how to get better in those areas.
So how many classes are you teaching? Because you've already had a full-time job. So how are you balancing this with the customers, and how many classes a week are you teaching?
Well, so I don't have a full-time job now. I mean, this podcast town is my full-time job at this point.
I guess I meant more with the customers, because you're balancing having customers that you're working with the curriculum, correct?
Oh, well, see, that's where having a great team comes in. They, on the production side, they're taking care of customers, they're answering emails and making sure that we're good to go that way. And so I can focus my attention on, you know, right now until it grows to the point where it's beyond me. Right now, I am the instructor, right? The chief bottle washer for the Academy, but I have a fantastic team that handles 95% of the production. And so they do a phenomenal job at taking care of our, we call our clients residents.
I love the ongoing pun of the mayor of Podcast Town, the residents of Podcast Town. Just how many other things could you? Who's the Secretary of Commerce? The deputy mayor. All right. Well, when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit more about what you see as the difference between podcasting and radio, because Jane and I have had this conversation before, because especially because you have with the Academy and the studio that you have a live audience component of it. And so I'm interested to hear a little bit more about how the two mediums overlap and still what makes them distinctly different to you. Our guest this half hour is Elsie Flinard, who is the mayor of Podcast Town. Stick with us. He'll still be here when we get back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
If you talk and they will hear you.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. So talk, they hear you.
You can do it if you try. Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages.
Start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're serious comedy to start your day.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Much cooler Wednesday and Thursday with highs from the upper 20s to the low 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is the mayor of Podcast Town, Elsie Flanard. So Jane and I have talked about this before, Elsie, and Jane has worked in radio for 40 years. I'm pretty new to radio. I only started in the last year a little bit and officially full time in July. So what do you see as the difference between podcasting and radio?
Well, had you asked me that question 4 years ago, I would say there's a ton of differences. I think more and more there are fewer differences. I think right now the you know, as big brands have gotten into podcasting, there's been a settling, if you will, on the difference between podcasting and radio. For a number of years, podcasting was sort of the independent, kind of straight to the point content that people on demand, that sort of feel. But now that's changed. A lot of radio stations also have podcasts, and a lot of stations are slightly adjusting how they deliver content. So the biggest difference, I think, is the expectation and the audience. I think the radio audience still skews older. Podcast listeners tend to skew younger. But I think more and more, they're very, very closely related. I think they're very not so distant cousins that I think play well together in the content generating market.
Because one of the things, Jane, when we first talked about this was the fact that we take live callers. We have live text messages. We have live callers who can still call in and be part of the show. But that's what I thought was interesting when I was reading about Podcast Town and the studio that you have, and that there's an ability to have a live audience. And so that also kind of, I mean, I don't know if the intent for that is to just have the laugh track in the background or have people ask questions live, but what was the motivation to feel like that needed to be part of the studio, as being able to have people there live as an audience?
Oh, it looks like Elsie, I think Elsie froze.
Speaking of technology.
Yes, he is frozen.
He is frozen.
He is frozen.
Do you have any reaction to what he said as far as it being...
I find it really interesting because obviously, and we've talked about this before with Brooke, that...
Elsie, are you there?
He's trying.
I am.
Oh, there we go. Perfect.
All right, great.
The lovely internet. Yeah, so, to your point, that's exactly why we do that. I think when you talk about delivering content, I think it's super important to have that live element to it, which is the thing that in the past has made radio so powerful. And I think more and more podcasters are looking for that. That engagement, that level of engagement where, for example, last week, actually, we had a live version of my show where we had a live studio audience where they could ask the guests questions. They could reiterate things that they thought they heard and really get that in-person, real-time feedback. So I think to your point, that's exactly the reason why, you know, more and more podcasters are doing things like live shows and live events for that feedback and that engagement, because being one way is great, but having that one-to-one 3D, as I call it, feedback is super important.
And then I guess my final question is, what would you say, because like you said, being the next Joe Rogan or even creating the next Serial podcast that just takes the nation by everyone was listening to it. It's such a saturated media. It's become such a saturated medium, largely, I think, because there is a low barrier to entry as far as you need a microphone and commitment. And otherwise, you can kind of introduce yourself into the podcast world, but there's millions of podcasts now. And so for someone who has an idea, but like, what would you say to them as far as the arguments as to why to go for it?
Yeah. I push back a little bit on it being saturated because okay. If you look at how many websites there are or how many people have YouTube channels or blog posts, it's not even close in terms of ratios. So I think there's still a cool opportunity for people to leverage the medium. The other thing I would say is the best way is that I'll give you a quick analogy. So when I graduated college, I graduated with a degree in electronics. The same year I graduated, there were probably, and I don't have the science or the facts behind this, but there were probably hundreds of thousands of other people who also had the exact same degree that I had. And I never once thought, oh my goodness, it's saturated. I'm not going to get a job. Because I knew that nobody's going to do electronics like me. Nobody has my personality. Nobody has. So I think just really understanding that nobody is going to have the message that you have that's meant to serve the people that you are meant to serve. So just do it. If you're thinking about launching a show, just do it.
That is a really good message.
It is a really good message. So what if my passion, Elsie, is tulips and I want to do a podcast only about tulips? How will tulip people find me?
Well, social media is huge, but I think if actually the more niche your podcast is, the better, because you're going to create the best, deepest, most collaborative tulip community on the face of this planet. So if you can find 500 to 1,000 other tulip lovers, you are golden.
I'm going to be the mayor of Tulip Land.
The mayor of Tulip Town. I love it.
All right. Well, Elsie, where can people find all of the information if they want to get more, learn more about Podcast Town, either as an agency or an academy?
The best way is the website, podcasttown.net. Or you can email me. I'm always in front of my phone at mayor@podcasttown.net.
Very easy. Very straightforward. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This was so fun as far as, and I think you're right. Maybe no one else, there's only one you, as they would say, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Just do it. A podcast. Everybody, podcast for everybody.
Everyone get a microphone. Everyone take their best idea and just do it. All right. Elsie Flanard, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been very fun. All right. We'll be back in a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. Game day, Green Bay and Minnesota. Place, the frozen tundra. Kick off your new year by scoring tickets to this longtime rivalry at Lambeau Field January 1st. It's our New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway from WFHR. Register for your chance to win two tickets at one of our Dropbox sponsors. Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, Hoozles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nacoosa. One registration per person per location ends November 28th. One name then drawn at each Dropbox sponsor wins a $50 gift card and a chance to win the tickets. The game day winner will be randomly drawn and announced on November 30th. It's the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway from locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it. I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at infamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. November 28th is Snow Plow Driver Appreciation Day in Wisconsin, and it is an excellent opportunity to remind motorists to give snow plow drivers plenty of space to complete their job safely. They work hard throughout the days and nights of winter to clear our roads and keep us as safe as possible during our winter season. The governor and the DOT are asking drivers to plan ahead and check for road conditions using the 511wi.gov website or download the 511 app. Buckle up, phone down, every trip, every time. Stay at least 200 feet behind a working snowplow. If you cannot see their mirrors, they cannot see you. The City of Wisconsin Rapids is asking for feedback on a community rail traffic survey taking place until December 30th. In response to concerns about delays at rail crossings, a feasibility study is being conducted to address these delays and reduce congestion, noise, pollution, and safety issues at rail crossings. Visit wirapids.org to take the survey. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy overnight with lows around 32. Southerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. Highs level off around 41. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night. A mixture of precipitation likely. Lows dip down to about 20. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 37.
Today, a girlfriend and I used to do Black Friday.
Like you'd camp out and you're
well,
ready,
we wouldn't
ready
camp out, but we'd be up by four, you know, and then we'd meet at the store and then
what would you buy?
Deal doorbusters.
I know, but did you? How many? You can only get a you can't get a TV every year.
No, but it, you know, it was more like gifty things for relatives and for my over, you know, Paul's family overseas and earrings and just little tchotchke things. And then we'd go out to breakfast and I'd go home and go back to bed.
What was the best score you ever got?
I think I got some diamond earrings one year that were pretty good.
All right.
But this was a long time ago. We don't gift as much anymore. my family. I mean, you know, I'm one of six kids. When we were growing up, we all drew names. We did that for a while. Now we're all over the country, so it's not like we all get together all the time. And so I really don't have a lot of gifts to buy anymore.
Yeah, that's interesting. So it is, if, in case you didn't know, today is Cyber Monday.
Yes.
Friday was Black Friday. If you, I would love to hear from you. How much do either of those days or the whole weekend affect your holiday weekend? Is this a big part of it? Do you get most of your shopping done? Is it something you just ignore? 844-967-2789. Because I feel like I, and this may be a me problem, I get a little overwhelmed.
Really?
Oh my gosh. The mind tricks of you're going to miss out on these deals and this is the time to get the thing that you've been wanting. And so then all of a sudden you spend too much time trying to find the best deals and then your cart's full and it's like a couple $1,000. You're like, well, I don't have, I can't pay for that, but it's half off. So how could I afford not to buy this thing?
How can I not have it?
And, you know, it was Shutterfly was doing their whole like free 4x6 prints. I was like, well, this would be a good time to do all the things for the wedding photos that we got back and gifts because everything's half off. But this feels like a lot of work and I kind of just want to enjoy my weekend before I go back to work. And I feel like the pressure it puts on you, as sales are wont to do, to get it now. But then when you do it online, like on Cyber Monday, the amount of endless choices when it comes to online shopping and how much work it takes to figure out what the right thing is going to be. And I'm terrible at returning things if I just buy it because I just forget. And so I get that there's really good deals. There's really good deals. But it feels like what an awful way to waste a long weekend.
You got to study. Well, you got to study for it, right?
Anxiety of shopping.
And like you said, you have to study for it because you got to narrow it down to at least write four things in specifically. Otherwise, if you go in with no game plan, you're going to, like you said,
you're spending too much money.
Well, yeah. And so I guess maybe if you identify four things that you need to get, then it wouldn't be quite so overwhelming, but you got to have a plan.
But this is also so early. Like, I have no idea what I'm getting people for Christmas yet. Like, I don't have a plan. And so so tell me I'm wrong as far as that this is a great tradition as far as kicking off the holiday season and getting the things that you plan to get for yourself or for the others or things that you've been watching and waiting to go on sale. I'm trying to think, what did I actually buy this weekend? I bought a bunch of hair products because those were all like 35 to 40% off.
That's pretty good.
So I stocked up on that because it's stuff that I know I'm going to use no matter what. I think there was some stuff for the house that was on sale.
Anything you're going to buy, you're looking for today?
No, because when I go home, I'm going to prep for tomorrow's show. Like, I don't know, the time has passed. I think the time of, like, all of the stuff that takes a lot of work is like, now we're back in, like, show mode. And yep. So, but I was, it was funny because, like you said, like, you need to go in with a strategy. And so I wanted, as we usually do on this show, to think of, to look up what the history of Black Friday and Cyber Monday actually are. But when you just Google history of, you have to go through probably two or three pages of search results that are just blogs of best deals for Black Friday,
wow,
best deals for Cyber Monday, even adding like the little history part in there. But the amount, how so many different websites do their version of this is where you should get XYZ thing on Amazon and Best Buy and all the different places that are going to be having a deal this weekend. And it's, I feel like it's always comes back to technology as the big ones of some sort, or
the tech stuff, yeah,
and stuff like that. But I did, you want to hear the history that I ended up did find?
Definitely.
So Black Friday, the original term of Black Friday, do you know where it comes from?
No idea.
It was originally coined in 1869 after a major stock market crash.
Wow.
It happened on a Friday. Yeah, so it's a old term. But then it got resurrected in like the 50s, 60s by Philadelphia police officers. They resurrected the term Black Friday to refer to the chaotic Friday before the Army-Navy football game. Because that was such a big deal in those decades, I guess.
Wow.
Of when Army played Navy, and that all the fans would get to Philadelphia and it would be
nuts.
Not so brotherly love-like.
Okay.
And it wasn't until the 80s. It wasn't until the 80s that the idea of Black Friday became associated with holiday shopping. And I guess it was, the name of it had to do with ink. So according to the New York Times, retailers used black ink to indicate profits and red ink to indicate loss. So after Black Friday sales, retailers sold enough merchandise to transition from being in the red to being in the black.
Fascinating.
Hence Black Friday. So isn't that?
That is. Look at that little.
Look at these little nuggets of knowledge.
Yes, knowledge nuggets.
So it's been like since the 80s as far as us referring to it as Black Friday. I'm sure I didn't find anything as far as has it always been the big sales that happen the day after Thanksgiving. But interesting as to how that is how we got the name. But the Cyber Monday part obviously didn't come around until we were doing so much online shopping. Mm-hmm. But as that started to happen in 2005, the National Retail Federation officially coined the title Cyber Monday per NBC News. And so, but the shoppers spent a combined total of $10.8 billion on that on Cyber Monday in 2020,
wow,
making it the biggest online shopping day in history.
Wow.
So yeah, so more people still. So what I found out is because I was kind of like, do we need both of these things?
Black Friday and Cyber Monday?
Yeah, because most of the online sales start on Black Friday anyways. I mean, at least the things I see. Like, I've been very honest about my aversion to waiting in line and my aversion to chaotic. There's nothing I want that badly.
Right.
And
to put up with all that chaos.
And maybe that's like a signal of how much privilege or like economic resources I have, that is like, there is no sale that is worth me going and potentially getting trampled or elbowed to the face trying to get Tickle Me Elmo. This is not happening in my future anytime soon. I will pay the full price to avoid that situation entirely. But I don't know. It feels like we don't need both. And it feels like most people I was reading that even the last couple of years, there's just, while it's still a huge day for in-person shopping comparatively to the rest of the year, it still brings in way less money than Cyber Monday does.
That's really interesting. I just wonder, you know, and I really noticed this year that nobody was open on Thanksgiving, because they've done that in the last in the last few years.
Oh, really?
You would go at midnight, you know, starting at 8 p.m.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes,
8 p.m.
Yes.
on Thanksgiving night, and I don't think anybody did that. And that makes me really happy.
Yes.
That makes me really, really happy.
Taking it full circle to the top of the show where it's like, treat your employees.
Well,
and there are certain jobs you can't, right? If you work in a hospital.
Sure.
We stopped by Mike's grandfather, who's in hospice. He's 96. We stopped by to say hi to him. And I was thinking about that with all the nurses and everyone who works there. They were there with him on Thanksgiving instead of with their families. And there are certain jobs where I think service, like care service.
Yes, definitely. Medical
where,
field.
You know, we're so grateful to the people who do make that sacrifice because of their job. But I'm not really expecting people who are retailers to sacrifice their Thanksgiving dinner.
No.
At all.
No. So you can buy more stuff.
I know.
Again, it's, you have the, just wait until the next day. And I'm glad to see us getting away from some of that. And I think maybe decades of people getting elbowed and trampled as we buy gifts to celebrate the season of joy and brotherhood, maybe that people finally had enough.
I think it's been, I feel like it's been a while since any of those headlines, like those stories
The real horrible ones?
Of anyone getting seriously injured or dying from shopping. I also have realized I can't tell time anymore. I read an article the other day as far as, you know, the Cats came out in 2017? The movie Cats.
Oh, that terrible movie?
It's been
movie?
That five years since that movie came out.
Wow.
Well, I read a hilarious review that I'm not going to do today. I'm going to read it tomorrow because I realized I need more time than just the 8-minute segment. And so I had to bump it to tomorrow.
Oh, great.
But the idea that XYZ thing or event happened 4 years ago or 10 years ago, just how quickly once you get older, you're like, I don't know. I don't know the last time I heard one of those headlines of people running each other over trying to get into Target.
Well, and don't
it's been a while, I think.
It has been a while, but don't forget, we had 2 years of the pandemic where
it's true.
You know, there probably weren't a lot of people out in the stores at all. And now I just think that retailers are kind of moving away from that, which makes me happy.
It's not necessary.
It's not necessary. It really isn't necessary.
What would have to be on sale and how much on sale for you to have to get up again at 4 a.m. with your friend to go sit in line?
Boy, you know, because we're at a point in our lives, Kristen, where we're trying to get rid of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And even a group of friends that we've been getting together for Christmas and to celebrate our birthdays for years now. And I said last year, no more gifts. I don't need another scarf. I don't need another tchotchke. I'm trying to get rid of this stuff so that when I drop dead, it won't be a big pile of stuff that somebody has to take care of. So it's, I don't even know. I mean, if it were a particular ring that I saw about 5 years ago, and if that were 50% off, that might be worth it. Because it was several thousand dollars.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't need much. You know? I don't need a coat. I don't need a TV. And for the people, you know who I want to hear from? Are the people who actually wake up and there's a car in their driveway with a bow on it. I want to talk to those people. Because you know those commercials are coming.
Of how often that actually happens?
Yes, come on.
I'm trying to think if I know anyone who that's happened to.
I woke up and my husband gave me a car.
I vaguely feel like I have like one friend.
Really?
That got a car for some kind of gift. I'm totally blanking on who it was and what the story was behind it. And I don't know if there was a big bow on top, but I feel like there's somewhere in the back of my mind, I'm thinking of someone who... Oh, and then they posted about it on social media. And
I could see for maybe graduation or something, but I was just always amazed by somebody must happen. Although, could it be that the advertisers are lying to us and that doesn't actually happen?
Or they're planting the idea that you should do this for her?
That would be so sneaky.
All right, well, we're going to take another break. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When a student lacks basic needs like food, clothing, and learning materials, attending school can be a challenge.
And that can make it impossible to thrive.
At Communities in Schools, we address this issue by ensuring that students have everything they need to re-engage in learning,
access to technology and school supplies,
and even emotional support.
By bringing communities of support to students, we're achieving equitable learning conditions.
And that's what Communities in Schools is all about.
Learn more at communitiesinschools.org.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists in their own words.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
And a wolf?
Oh, a wolf.
What about the tiny dog?
What?
cat. Aww. Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say? Whale.
Whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Breeze. The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Babe, you need all the friends you can get, I'm telling you.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. So, there's a new... I think I read this and I was confused. Because how many different... Are you a dog show fan?
I will tune in occasionally, sure.
What's your favorite event? I don't even know enough about it, like the events and how...
See, I like the agility stuff.
They're like,
yeah, it's when they, the dogs go in and out of the little, yes, like you said. Yes, that.
Well, there's a new good boy. Winston, the French Bulldog, won the 21st annual National Dog Show presented by Purina, which is not to be confused with Westminster.
Right.
Which that is the crown jewel,
yeah,
if I understand
premier.
This world correctly. But he's the first French Bulldog to win this prize. And so
they're very trendy right now with those French bulldogs.
Well, not only are they so trendy, I feel this is just awful. I've been seeing different posts from friends in Milwaukee on social media. Some poor woman has two French bulldogs and someone broke into her house. And when she got home, not only was her house broken into, but the dogs were gone.
Yeah, thieves. Well, that happened to Lady Gaga. That Lady Gaga's dogs were French bulldogs.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Well, they're very expensive and they're very trendy. I don't know. I don't know the person who's missing. I think one of I tried to follow it a little bit. I think one of the dogs they might have found, but they said that the smaller one is still missing,
oh,
which is just the saddest.
Oh.
And it was wild because on vacation, I think similar to a lot of island countries, there's just dogs everywhere and some combination. If they have a collar, they probably are somebody's. If they don't have a collar,
They're just
strays.
Yep.
And I've been to Bali before and it felt like there was more in Bali and there was more that looked sick.
Yeah.
In Bali. But when we checked into our last Airbnb in Aruba, there was three or four that was always around and cats that were always around. And one was our Airbnb host's dog. One had been adopted, so one was a stray dog.
Wow.
This is what is also, I wonder what the morale, like the, I don't know if morality is the right word that I want to say, but there was a couple who was there before we got there staying at the Airbnb, and they just decided that they wanted to adopt this very sweet small black dog, not small, but like 30 or 40 pounds. And I don't know, I was like, what is the paperwork that goes into that? Because it's just a stray dog. And so they went back to Connecticut or Massachusetts or somewhere on the East Coast. But our Airbnb owners were like, oh yeah, like she's going on the dog was going on a plane on Monday to fly back to the East Coast. I was like, that is a very different lifestyle for this dog. To go from roaming the beaches of Aruba and it's warm every day and I have my free nomad lifestyle of doing what I want, when I want, and, you know, potentially have to dodge some cars. But in the reality, like all these people feed me their scraps, I'm fine. To live in someone's apartment in Boston.
Wow. I'm just, you make a really good point about the paperwork. And what about quarantine? You can't just bring an island dog in, can you?
Yeah, I should have asked more questions because I was very confused. I was like, oh yeah, that one's been adopted, and it went, lo and behold, by just 20-somethings who. She was a very sweet dog, don't get me wrong.
I'm sure.
But, and then there was one who was always hanging around that had no collar and, but was still very friendly. But yeah. It was so funny. It's so funny to know that that happens in a lot of different places because I've heard the same thing about Cuba, like I said, certainly in Bali. And just the reality of how that, at least in Wisconsin, it would just never work because they'd freeze to death. That there's only certain climates that stray dogs can just... thrive,
yeah.
Potentially. I don't know if they're ever thriving, but maybe they are. I mean, their lives seemed a lot more fun than someone who's just like in a house all day, bored. They were very friendly. They're very docile.
Well, that's interesting, but you know, dogs still fight.
Oh, and they did. And there was a dog fight. I slept through it, but I woke up on our last night and Mike's like, because I can sleep through anything. And Mike's like, did you not hear the dog fight that happened on our porch?
Oh my.
He's like, there could be a dead dog out there right now. Oh. I said, no, there's not. And there wasn't.
Good.
But they had broken stuff. And they had, and he told one of the guys, like the groundskeepers or whatever. He goes, oh yeah, that happens all the time. They just fight with each other and move on.
See, maybe an apartment in Boston wouldn't be such a bad thing.
Maybe.
If you don't want to be you have to, having to look for scraps and stuff. I don't know. It's kind of a,
But in the warmer states here... Because I still think there's just not a lot of stray dogs. Like, you don't, I think it's a very different, like a cultural shift when you go to a place where it's just very normal to have a bunch of stray dogs versus, you know, I think one of the five professions you know as a child under five is like police officer, teacher, doctor, dog catcher. Like,
I thought you were going to say veterinarian.
Or veterinarian, too. But also, like, you're like, oh, the pound. Like, it's like this thing in childhood memory of whether it's, like, 101 Dalmatian or whatever, that, like, there's a dog catcher, and this is, we can't just have stray dogs running around. And so when you go somewhere new, that's a very normal thing. Because I don't think Florida, Texas, Arizona, I still don't think they have stray dogs. I mean, that's where most of... the rescue dogs in Wisconsin come from is like Texas and the South.
But don't forget, we have Americans have a much different attitude. And we're not the only ones. I think the Japanese also are very pet centric. But we have a much different view of pets and how to treat pets than many, many, many other people around the world. And when you look at what is spent on our pets annually, It's a shocking amount of money. And I you know how much I love animals.
Yeah.
But I think other people from around the world look at us as a country and go, you spend that on a dog and there are children that are hungry?
Yeah.
You know? So it's...
I wonder, so you said Japanese. You don't think Europe?
I'm sure. But I think a lot more... island cultures, and probably not that there aren't people who don't care about their pets or have
pets. But they live outside. But they can live outside.
There's that too.
Yeah, it was interesting. I certainly was tempted with some of them. Like, well,
oh, you're gonna bring one home for Cliffy?
Sibling, and Mike shut down that.
That's probably good. And I think Cliff deserves all of your attention.
He's certainly happy to be home, I think.
Is he?
Debbie took very good care of him.
I'm sure.
So I think I'm now third, actually fourth favorite.
Oh, no, is it?
I think I'm fourth. Mike. Debbie is third. Mike is second. And food is still first.
Oh, well, he's a dog.
Of course.
He's a dog.
But yeah, so I guess this went a different direction than I thought it was going to. But Winston the French Bulldog, he's very cute.
Well done, Winston.
Well done, Winston.
Yes.
21st Annual National Dog Show. Congratulations.
Very exciting.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk with Packers and why I thought, in reality, I thought last night's game was not so bad. But that's just me. Maybe I've lowered my expectations already. All right. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You can teach dogs to do that. You can only train elephants. Because I need a friend now. I need a friend now. Yeah.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing.